Welcome back to the Big Sports Breakfast. Great to be in Adelaide the day after Origin, and it's great to have our mate Roger Rashid in the house. Rog, very good morning to you, mate.
Welcome to Adelaide. I know you're all a bit down. I can feel the energy's not great, but I love amping things up, and it's great to finally be in person as well, because there's been a lot of talk, and I feel a little bit sometimes over the airways, but we're in person now, so you can front up.
Cut to the chase, Rog.
Yes.
Blue or Marat? Where were you?
I was in the middle of banter between some tennis greats, Wally Masur, Pat Rafter, John Fitzgerald, Josh Eagle. Wally Masur is a New South Welshman. Yep. He's depressed. I was on the phone to him driving down here. He was talking to me all about it. I said, I'm talking to you guys, and he said, oh, well, he was pumping your bags up, Laurie. He said, oh, God, we could have put him back in. And then you've got Pat Rafter, who was sledging. Oh, I mean, are they great sledgers?
They love it, the Queenslanders.
Yeah,
they love it.
Absolutely.
I love the game. I thought the game... I mean, it's interesting, because if you're not invested weekly in the game, you don't know the little nuances. So I walk out of there going, oh, that was a hell of a game. 10-0 to Queensland. New South Wales 5 back. They're in front. They look like they're going to hold on. They've got the favouritism, I guess, of what was going on the Queensland side. And then, you know, all I've walked away with were they a bit fumbly. As I said to you guys when I walked in, I don't know if that's the end. But I think it was a good spectacle for fans that came that don't follow the code weekly. Mm. And I just think, how could you not love State of Origin? That's why from football, AFL perspective, we would love State of Origin back. It's funny how your athletes are happy to play State of Origin and the franchises are happy to release the players.
I think they're accepting of it. Accepting of it because they realise how much money it brings into the game and therefore back into their pockets. I think if you ask the clubs, they wouldn't want to release their players for risk of getting injury, which you can understand, but it's just a big money driver, State of Origin.
And it's a great feel, isn't it? For anyone that's been part of the game, State of Origin, you know, you've almost got to sort of, you know, you've almost got to take your licks and go, we need it. It needs to stay. You know, if you took that away from your code, how would you feel? How would you feel?
I don't want to see it taken away. I want to see it played. And
it's the pinnacle of your sport.
Well, it's one of them, yeah.
That and playing for your country.
I mean, you play for your country, but playing for your country because we don't play a lot of countries. But playing against New South Wales, Queensland, it's the best of the best. Because we're dominant at the Aussie
Are the players still that aggressive for it?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think if you ask the AFL guys, if they had their options, they would love to play, you know, an SA Victoria game. It'll have 90,000 people at the MCG. Yeah.
Well, last night's a good example. You bring it to a venue that doesn't play rugby league, and it... Like, every part of last night I thought was unbelievable. Yeah.
Atmosphere,
the ground was in unbelievable, Nick. I said to Loz at the time, I was surprised, you know, for me being a cricket ground, how it was unbelievable viewing for rugby league as well. So I know watching cricket from there is awesome, but you felt close enough to the players. Like I say, the ground was in great, Nick. I thought the atmosphere even walking over that bridge.
I was about to say, you know what
was
I love?
Awesome.
I love the walk to and from.
Just to get
into the city. I'd love that. I haven't done that for a long period of time. Just walk to a venue and then walk home.
There's
to a venue.
There's not too many better grounds the world than Adelaide Oval now.
Yeah.
The way they have done it is, I reckon they've got it spot on.
And it's revitalised the city, really, because the city was sort of quiet, you know, during the weekends. Now you've got an AFL game, you've got cricket during the summer.
Yeah.
So people do come to events in the city. And as you said, you can stay internally in the city, you can walk across that bridge, which is a great vibe when you've got a swarm of people walking across a bridge. Then there's Adelaide Oval. And once you enter, if you haven't been to Adelaide Oval, that, as you said, it's one of the most magnificent, picturesque ovals because they've kept the old scoreboard, they've kept the hill, they haven't decided to close the whole venue with that, you know, with big stands, which there has been a lot of talk about that here in South Australia, but there's a big push to never have that happen because, yep, you might fit another 20,000 people in it or 15,000 people. Is it worth it, or would you rather keep the aesthetics of what
Adelaide? That old scoreboard looks good.
Oh, it's fantastic. Yeah.
And what did they get last night? 48?
48-6-13, I think
it was. Yeah, it's unbelievable.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good, that.
And if you held that in New South Wales?
Well, you'd play at ANZ Stadium, so it's about 85, yep. Is it?
And would you feel
82?
Yeah.
Game one, you would.
Yeah. Game one, game two. Interesting, if it's 2-0 Queensland, you might get 60,000 for game three.
Hmm.
Or maybe a touch more, but you probably don't sell it out.
As a purist, are you happy for it to, like, were you happy that it's in another state? Does it matter?
I wasn't.
You weren't? Yeah.
Until I was a coach, and then we took it to Melbourne 1 year. And we played in front of 90-odd thousand. That's pretty special.
Yeah. See, to me, it still doesn't make sense. If it's New South Wales versus Queensland, then it doesn't make sense to play the game in Adelaide to me.
Yep.
But being at the event, of course, money's the dictator, as always. Probably. But being at the event, Adelaide did it. South Australia, you couldn't do it any better. It was a brilliant event. So I'm not taking anything away from if it goes to Perth, if it comes to South Australia. Goes to Melbourne, whatever, but I still find it very hard to comprehend that you've only got two states playing against each other. Yeah. Why would you not play in either state?
Yeah.
like a grand final. If a grand final goes to Melbourne, well, there's a Melbourne NRL team. If a grand final goes to Auckland, because there's a New Zealand team, that makes sense to me. State of origin, there's New South Wales or Queensland. Why are you not playing it in either state?
Yeah, and a lot of people have that view as well. But I think the environment we live in today, it's obviously commercial reality.
Cash is king.
You're going to go somewhere if someone's prepared to pay. Mm.
And they didn't let anyone down last night. South Australia government, mate, what they put on an unbelievable show.
I'll let my sister know.
You do that.
Mate, she's the one at
the top. Yeah. Unbelievable.
Okay, well, she's been busy considering what's been on in South Australia in the last...
Well, she went and got... she had to hunt Live Golf and got that here. And they've had a lot going on, obviously. Mm. But gather round. And then this. So this is sort of like the they were the three, you know, that was a triangle of sport for us, really, which was pretty amazing for South Australians who are, you know, it's a small state, but we do love our
sport. They always operated like that, Rog, going for major events?
Through COVID, you didn't have the opportunity, obviously. But, cycling, getting the Tour Down Under, bringing Lance Armstrong down here, you know, that was one of her initiatives as well with Mike Turd at the time as well. Yeah. So fly over there, spend some days with Lance. Okay, we know what, you know, he was coming out of retirement, but wow, did he put this place on the map?
Yeah.
You know, the Tour Down Under, and it became a tier one race now.
Years ago, they had the Grand Prix here, didn't they?
Yeah, the Vics stole that.
We're
saying the Vics have borrowed that because it's coming to Sydney.
Well, you guys are always
over the Harbour Bridge.
All you need to do is just sell the Harbour Bridge, and I reckon you're a charm.
We tried recently.
Yeah, I know, we did. We missed out.
Victoria re-signed.
Yeah.
Well, we better talk some tennis. This morning, Tanasi Kokkinakis has beaten Stan Wawrinka in five sets. So that he got his, first singles victory at Roland Garros in, I think it was 8 years, by winning his first round match. And another great result for him in, more than 4.5 hours on court this morning.
Yeah, it's interesting. Against Stan Wawrinka, and Tanasi's, he's someone who's sort of, his body didn't get right. He spent a lot of time in, I guess, the tennis wilderness, in the sporting wilderness, didn't really gel, and he's now, you might remember against Andy Murray at the Australian Open, he led two sets to love in that epic that went late at night through the early hours of the morning, and he lost that one. Well, he looked like he might have sort of repeated itself a little bit against Wawrinka, who will be a Hall of Famer in the tennis world. He's a three-time major champion, and the three Grand Slams that he won, the majors, he beat the number one seed in the final, which is a pretty epic result when you look at, you've won three majors against Novak, Roger, Rafa, those guys in that time. He's 38 years of age and big, strong, strapping lad. And, you know, for Tanasi, that was a great result. I thought he played really well. He weathered the storm early and then found his way. Would I have put him as a slight favourite in that match to go in? Yes, I probably would have because of the age. Stan's played five sets 2 days before. And if you want to win those matches, Tanasi, that's the time you need to do it. And on a clay court where it becomes quite physical, you know, there was a good opportunity for him and he took it. So really happy for him.
Novak looks like he's just getting a bit of rust out of the system. Yeah. But he still looks... Can anyone beat him?
Good call. Good call about Rust out of your system. Yeah. Didn't have a great... Normally the great players, they generally like to create a lead in where they control the way they lead into a major. Mm. They get some consistency, they get some match wins, and you can see them building. Whereas Novak wasn't allowed to play in the US.
Yeah.
You know, was really poor. You know, had a bit of an elbow injury. He feels like, yeah, there is a bit of rust. He started off tight first set, then raced through, had a six love set in the second. He's going to be tricky to beat. The half of the draw that he's in, he's got Alcaraz in the semi, which you would think, you know, that's probably that'd be a great final. Tsitsipas is also in that section of the draws, or in that half of the draw. So the top half's pretty loaded, but you know he's one when he gets into that position. He's very hard to beat under those circumstances. But you've got to love Alcaraz, who also won in four sets overnight, dropped a set. But when you look at I love watching the greats and look at the way they win their sets. You know, he hammered his opponent in the rest of the sets. They were 6-2, 6-1s. And he's physical, Clarkey. So when you look at you look at what happened last night, you know, you want guys that can sustain a physical presence and level throughout the course of long matches and fire. But if you can throw a lot of heavy blows and you can repeat those, you're really hard to beat. And that's what Alcaraz offers at the moment.
What about Max Purcell and Dimonor tonight? How do you see them going?
Yeah, they're both guys who've got opportunities. There's no doubt about that. I think Demon's got, he plays an Argentinian. He's the one, I think, Etchenberry, who's 49 in the world. But I think Demon, he likes this type of court. And he's on an outside court. There's a good little intimate environment there. And so I'm expecting him to get through to the third round. That's the one I'm expecting. And I'm not sure what he is on the in the money there.
Very tight. $1.80 Dimonor, $2 Etcheverry.
Yeah. And what's the other? What's the
Nishik?
Oh, Nishioka.
Nishioka.
Okay.
Versus Purcell.
So Max is. It's interesting. It's not our favoured court. So we don't learn the dynamic. How you use the angles, the spins, and so we're learning as we go throughout our career. So what Nishioka offers you is, he's a lefty from Japan who's just a ball machine. He gets the ball back. He's quite feisty and he hits a lot of balls and he makes you earn the wins. So it what it throws up your end is, shall I attack? Because he's not an aggressive player, big heavy player up the other end of the court. So for Max, he'll try and play probably a quite an offensive game. But you can't quite play it the same way you play in hard court. If you hit a hard court ball and it hits the clay, it props up and sits. So it's about the dynamic spin that you can apply on the ball, because once it hits a clay court, it reacts and moves off the court. And that's when your player, you can spread your opponent on the tennis court. So if he can offer a fair bit of that and also come forward, he's got an opportunity. So I'd give him a chance at it, but you'd have to think... Nishioka would be a slight favourite in that match. He's a seeded player. He's a pretty good career for a guy who's, when you look at him, he doesn't have a lot of weapons. And you would think he'd be a slight favourite. But again, an opportunity. He's volatile.
He's $1.32 Nishioka, Purcell, $3.30 with Tab. Now, say we were to accidentally miss our flights today. What are some of your favourite spots, Rog, that we should be going to?
Well, that's a really good point. Well, we could easily, you know.
Day is it?
It's Thursday.
It's
Thursday.
It's drinking wine. Havelock.
A little bit of Havelock.
Thursday night, Havelock. Come on. Is that still rocking or what?
What's Havelock?
Havelock. Mate. What's the Havelock? Yeah. Are you joking?
Yeah, I've got no idea.
That was a Thursday night special.
It was. He's right. It was a long time ago. It was a pub in the city of Perth, on the eastern side of town. But, you know, I mean, it's slightly foggy at the moment. It's going to clear up. I live in the Adelaide Hills, Mylaws, but that's where all the wine districts are. So I'd probably just sort of whack you in the car. We'll have a nice little lunch up in the Adelaide Hills.
And then I'll come back to the Havelock.
You could. There won't be many people there. They're just doing renos.
I'm just going there for old time's sake.
Just doing a walk around.
I need to see this Havelock.
Mate.
No, you don't.
So good.
No.
Maybe not now.
Low joint.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
What were you doing in a low joint?
Mate, it was awesome.
No, back in the day, it was the place to go to.
Mm. Right.
So, you know, if you're sporting celebs, you turn up.
Aussie cricket
you got
shirt on.
Yeah. Oh, you turn up with jersey, name on the back, wear my pads, my gloves.
When we played Origin, we'd always wear our Origin shirt out.
Oh, my gosh.
No, so that's what I do, I think. Just down there, the Adelaide Hills.
Sounds like this joint, some off-air store is involved, I think.
Oh, you know, you're just the youngster enjoying Adelaide. Not every day you get to be with your teammates and celebrate your win or crown your sorrows if you lose, and we found a pub that we like doing it in. A lot of fun. Good times. Good memories.
Just before you go, Rog, I mean, you know, obviously New South Wales, Queensland, great rivalry. I mean, being here in South Australia, and Loz touched on it, the Crows-Port rivalry. Describe, I guess, the hate between these two clubs. Because it is unique, isn't it? I mean, there is no love between the Adelaide Crows and Port Adelaide. Like, for instance, there were years ago where players at the same venue, you know, words are said across and things would get a bit hairy, wouldn't they? There were incidents of that.
No, it
that
was.
Used to
there
happen.
Was. Yeah, there was Mark Rusciuto and Josh Carr, an incident, not at the Havelock, but at another pub on the coast, and you know, there was a brawl there, and Joshy was he's an assistant coach now at Port Adelaide, and you know, probably will be a senior coach at some level at some time, but you know, they used to go at it. You know, when a team became the first franchise, and it was the team for all South Australians except Port, you know, and then Port come in. Well, yep, there it is. You know, where it's and Port's beat was such a the Port Adelaide Football Club was such a dominant football club in the local SANFL competition. It was such a dominant football club, and with so many premierships, so there was always that hate for the clubs that do well. And then I think, you know, there was, you know, that you had to earn your stripes, and you know, they were very savvy, Port Adelaide, when they came in. You know, they really appealed to the young kids that are playing, watching football, and I think Adelaide probably had an arrogance about them which no one's allowed in. We've got this, you know, why is anyone else in this state that's playing on the big stage? And where we're at now, and you know, the Adelaide Crows won in 97, 98, Adelaide in Port Adelaide in 2004, and had that big loss in 2007. So if you look at the clubs where they sit now, it's probably, you know, it's the seesaw's quite balanced in the state. There's a lot of people now that love the brand of the Port Adelaide Football Club and how they appeal to the masses, you know, and the youth as well. And I'd say they're a sexy destination club.
Sexy.
If you're a young player going.
A sexy club.
How's your daughter going, by the way? Yes. With her AFL career.
What, was that because I said sexy?
How is she going?
She's going well. It's interesting having a child that likes a sport, and you. And all you're doing as a dad, you're in it, and you know it, and you know how it all works, and you know that. So you wanted to keep the enjoyment of it. Mm. You know, she's just turned 16, but she's got her sights on AFLW. You know, probably could play it today, but you can't. And you just got to navigate some enjoyment out of it. You know, it's amazing. I'm not sure what it's like in both your codes, but the scrutiny on the youth, so young now, with everything being GPS'd, everything, all the data and the information. So, and I've been big on her club where she plays is you're not to GPS her. I don't want her to be looking at numbers all the time, and or these young kids being obsessed by the numbers. How am I tracking? How many kilometres have I run?
Just play.
Play the game. If they're as I said to one coach, I said,
overrated stats.
You're not 100%. I said, if you're not to put a GPS on it, because does she try? Yes. Is she going 100 miles an hour at it? She's like a border collie. Yes. So her numbers are good.
Yeah.
I said, let her play the game of sport.
Just at that age, they should. That's exactly right.
And even a little bit older, because they're putting too much emphasis on this and losing sight on just playing the game, you know?
Well, New South Wales last night won all the stats. They lost the game.
Great.
What would you prefer?
Yeah. Right.
Moneyball. Stats. Yeah. Most overrated thing in sport.
Yeah. Great to see you in the flesh, though, Rob.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me. It's great.
No, thank you.
When I'm in New South Wales next, I'll pop in.
Pop in.
I'll create my own segment. You'll just have to build it in.
Easy.
Thanks, Rog. Thanks, boys. Good to see you.